Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Celestion and their brand new Ruby Alnico guitar speaker. Purpose-built to create rich, beautiful, vintage tones, the Ruby oozes a richly musical warmth with mellow highs and a smooth, sophisticated mid-range that always seems to sound just right. The classic Alnico speaker shape and lush, deep red colour ensures Ruby really looks the part in your cab and guarantees that no one could possibly mistake this remarkable new guitar speaker's family history. Check out Celestion's new Ruby at retailers including Lean Business in the UK, Tube, Amp Doctor in Germany, Algam in France, Eco Music in Italy, Ibelaud in Spain, plus Gear for Music, Toman, and The Backshop. And in the USA, you can buy through retailers like Sweetwater, Musicians Friends, AMS, Parts Express, Loudspeakers Plus, and of course Amazon. And for more details, check out Celestion.com. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's spookiest guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week for our Halloween special by the blood-curdling Jay Cross, the freaky deaky Mark Packham,
Star Trek Nemesis,
and the murdery Matt Knight.
The ghost with the most, baby.
Yes, there you are. Wonderful.
Is this coming out on Halloween?
It's the day before Halloween, I think. So
oh,
I thought,
All Hallows Eve Eve.
Hallows Eve Eve.
No, so, yeah.
Woo. So we're going to keep...
I remember Halloween. Dickheads and frappos.
I don't know what that is.
No,
Smith
no one does.
Halloween.
So we're going to, in because it's Halloween, we're going to keep this episode extra creepy and freaky.
They're always freaky.
I've even done a new jingle at the start that was all like spooky music.
Okay.
And yeah, there's going to be spooky sounds throughout.
I love that you've just sprung this on us and there's literally nothing in the rest of the podcast about Halloween.
Well, don't you remember last week I said we were going to do a Halloween special where we talk about...
Why didn't you put that in the running order then?
I immediately and intentionally forget everything you say.
Right. I have Men in Black myself before I leave this room.
You do what?
Do you know the old...
Oh, right. I see. Yes. Yeah. I understand. Well, okay. Yeah. Exactly. But yes, I was going to... Last week, I was like, oh, we're going to do
Sugar.
A Halloween special.
Sugar with water.
And water. He was the best villain ever.
Yeah,
I was really
great.
Into that guy. He was cool. But yeah, I was going to do... I thought we'll do a Halloween special. We're going to talk about like weird, creepy, pointy, blood-splattered guitars.
Yeah,
I was like...
Put any of that in the run.
I was like, we could talk about the Steve Vai DNA because that guitar actually had blood in it, real blood on it. Steve Vai's actual blood.
In the paint.
Yeah. In the paint.
And there was Joey Jordison drumsticks. That had,
really?
Yeah. There were the Joey Jordison blood drumsticks.
Blood drum.
How did they get the blood on them?
Just hit him in the face repeatedly with drumsticks.
Wonderful. Yeah. You know, so maybe we can. Maybe we'll talk about it. I thought it was best to be organic by leaving it
all out what? Of the running
see, the
order.
Thing, the thing, the issue with that is that's what the rest of us like to do, and you're like, no, we can't go off script. I wrote a script for you. Look, why haven't you read the script?
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, the real reason was I also realised that it's the first podcast after the London International Guitar Show, and we all saw so much cool stuff there that I thought it would be better if we actually just talked about all that cool stuff rather than us trying to remember guitars that we don't like. But we will talk about some pointy guitars.
But if you'd put it in the Patreon, we could have done Halloween special Patreon.
Well, that's
could have
what we are doing.
Pointy guitars and that. Well, what research have you done? Nothing.
Yeah, loads.
I've like to think.
I'm looking at
the
a
reason
document.
We've got so many Patreon backers is because this podcast is so well researched. And that's what they paid for.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Anyway, it's also because it's like, you know, the end of October as it's Halloween. It is the end of our little giveaway month that we've done. Last week we were giving away two pink luggage couch guitar straps. That's what they're called, pink luggage.
Yeah, I know. I just completely forgot they were called that.
Yeah, they're cool. They're awesome.
They're really nice, those straps.
They're actually lovely, aren't they? I mean, listener, you would have heard Mark flexing them on last week's episode.
They flexed well.
They did make a good noise, I thought.
Squeaky.
But anyway, we do have to choose. People have entered on the Facebook group, so we have to choose the winner for that. And also,
when you say choose the winner, you mean spin the clicky wheel.
We're going to spin the clicky wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, we are also we're going to do another giveaway after that. But I guess, first of all, we should spin this clicky wheel.
I hate the wheel.
So I like the wheel. Yeah. Where the wheel on the PC keeps on turning.
So I've entered all the names.
Where I'll be tomorrow.
All right. I'm just going to.
What are these songs?
That was Cheap Trick.
Okay, here we go. Is everyone ready?
In the sky.
Everyone ready to win two pink straps?
Oh,
here we go.
Sounds like your computer's breaking.
No, it is the wheel. It is spinning. You've got to write this down, remember, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Keith Atkin. AITKEN. Keith Atkin. Well done, Keith. You've won yourself a wonderful pink strap. We need one more victorious winner, so I'm going to spin this wheel again immediately. Are you ready? Well,
the wheel's going. Yeah, yeah. You've got no choice. You're listening to this.
Here we are. Who's going to be the last winner of the thing? It is Dave Lee.
Travis Lee.
Yes, exactly. Dave Lee. Well done. Well done, you two. You've won yourself a rather wonderful pink luggage strap. Anyway, there was one other giveaway that we have to do because it's the final October giveaway. We're going to be giving away an incredible Celestion Neo 250 copperback 12-inch guitar speaker, which, Matt, you've actually had the chance to pop in one of your cabinets.
Oh, so we're giving away a second-hand Celestion copperback.
They sent me one.
Yeah, separately.
They sent me a couple, actually.
We've got
they
a giveaway sent... one, and Matt's also
oh,
been...
favouritism, is it?
Well, I mean, since I'm the only one who would actually bother putting it in anything...
What are you talking about? I might put it in my spare room upstairs.
Yeah, in a box.
In a box.
With the rest of my gear.
Would it fit in a Boss Katana? Because that's probably the only amp I'm going to buy for the next 5-10 years.
What amp do you even have at the
Boss
moment?
Boss Katana 50.
Oh, you do have the Katana 50,
but
that.
They actually sent us two speakers, and one we haven't tried yet, which I need to put in a Katana, probably yours, Mark. When we do Gear of the Year. Well, we could do Joe's. We did suggest last time. They actually did send us the FX 1200, which is their full-range guitar speaker. Designed for modelers, so designed for guitar cabs that you plug a modeler into, or things like Katanas, for example. So we have got that to try out, but they also sent us the Neo 250 copperback, which was the speaker we saw at NAMM 2018. Last year's NAMM.
What was 250?
Why 250? Because it's 250 watts.
What?
Yeah, watts.
Watts.
So you could,
this is their take on the kind of really famous EV speakers that they still make them now, but they were kind of quite a big deal in the sort of 80s and 90s. They're effectively really, really powerful, high headroom speakers that don't necessarily color your sound very much, I guess is the kind of idea here. But also for amps that have you know, that like 100 watts designed for things that take, you know, pedals really, really well. So this is the take on that, where the I've actually got an EV, which is part of the reason I want them to send me one, because I wanted to AB the two.
What have you got EV, your EV in?
I've got two matching 1x12s.
Oh.
So I put the Celestion in one, I've got the EV in the other.
Yes.
And the EV is obviously like a really big, bulky speaker. It weighs about 10-12 pounds. It's insanely heavy because it's 200 watts, got a massive magnet on it. So this is the first advantage of the Neo Copperback, is it's like 5 pounds. It basically weighs absolutely nothing. Oh,
I thought they'd sent me an empty box.
I picked up two speaker boxes. I'm like, one's like incredibly light and one actually weighs like a normal weight. Obviously, that's the kind of advantage of going for a neodymium magnet. But the advantage here is that basically completely neutral mids, quite a boomy bottom end, and then really kind of clear top end. So if you're using a really clean amp, the idea is that then you can use the speaker to give you a completely clear sound if you're using a lot of effects, which is obviously what I do. And I've got to say, like, instantly, compared to the EV, I thought it was a much better speaker. It's got much more bottom end. It's a lot clearer. In terms of using it with the Morgan, which is like a Fender-type amp, this was great. For pedals, you know, just all the clean headroom, none of the weight added into the cab. Obviously, it's already a solid wood cab, so adding another like 10-12 pounds in terms of a speaker, so just adding a neodymium speaker in there makes all the difference. But yeah, an absolutely killer sound, so I want to get a matching one for the other 112, because it I think it sounds way better than the other EV.
Well, maybe you could be the winner of the next giveaway. And
can
that
I
way
be?
You will.
Can he be the winner?
Well,
no, he can't. This is only for Patreon backers.
That's right.
I'm a Patreon backer.
Have you not cancelled it?
No, because, I keep forgetting.
Because I have just dropped all the active Patreon names in there. So in that case, there is a 1 in 267 chance that you're going to win this.
Are we drawing this now?
Yeah, that's right.
Do people know about this giveaway already?
Yeah, I've shared it in the group and across all of our social media a number of times in the week leading up to this.
Oh, crikey, this is
fully
happening.
I also spoke about
this
on last week's podcast and told you I was doing this.
You just got to remember Men in Black thing.
Unbelievable.
What noise does it make, the Men in Black thing?
Doesn't it just go like
wicker wicker wild wild west?
That's the thing. That's
the theme tune from Men in Black, Wild Wild West official soundtrack.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so yes, what we've said we're going to do is we're going to select a winner from our complete three-tiered list of patrons or Patreon supporters. We've thrown every name in from the dollar tier right up to the $10 tier into our digital hat.
I tell you what, if we were unscrupulous people, what we
would just remove all the dollars and fives.
The opposite. Right. What we would have done is we would have entered people in based on the number of dollars that they contribute.
So if you put $10 in, you get 10 names in the hat.
But we didn't do that. I still have a 1 in 200 and
it's pretty good.
Something chance of winning.
It's pretty good. Oh, also, 267 patrons. How many of them have failed to put their surname in the surname box on Patreon? Oh my! Honestly, it was probably half my day today.
No, they haven't
checking
failed.
Emails against
they haven't
names.
Failed. They just don't want they.
They just don't want
privacy.
You to know. Yeah, exactly.
Privacy.
Yes, fine. Right, anyway, so we're gonna spin this wheel and we're gonna see
Here we are,
we're going.
Oh, that God. Noise. I hate it.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Phil Boyd. Well done, Phil Boyd.
Good work.
You have won yourself a Celestion Neo 250 Copperback.
Absolutely cracking speaker.
Do we know
the best prize yet?
Do we know where Phil Boyd lives? Because I'm not.
Shall I announce it?
Have you got their home address?
Yeah,
address.
Home address.
Yeah. I'm not shipping this to like the moon or anything.
It's at my house.
Yeah.
We know where it is.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Right. Let's talk about where it's being shipped to.
Well, hopefully not on the Moon. It sounds like a local name, doesn't it? Phil Boyd.
Well, it doesn't sound like a moon name.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, what sort of sound is a moon name?
Well, I don't know. I imagine it's going to be some sort of
Dave
like
Gilmore.
Phalangela Falulibops.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I'm into that.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah, potentially. But no, I know someone whose surname is Boyd.
Do they ever go to the moon in Star Trek?
I don't know. I think it's mentioned.
Weird, isn't it? Because you would think.
Well, I guess the thing is, though, is when you're kind of creating a world where, you know, travel through space and time.
I don't want to do the bits that you've already seen.
What I mean, it's just a little bit unimaginative, isn't it? It's not very ambitious.
Rigel 7, the sex planet, or they can go to the moon and do nothing.
They go to the dark side
of
the moon.
Play a bit of golf.
Where you know there's no atmosphere and it's cold and it's dark. So, like, what are you going to do?
I'm saying moon before sex planet.
Right, okay. Well, really? you know, except that way around.
I'd say mooning on the sex planet. That's right, okay.
This is going down a whole new avenue. Anyway, so this weekend we went to the London International Guitar Show and we got to walk around and see some cool stuff. I got less time, I guess, than most.
I did basically no walking around. I know you were really busy, but I also had a booth to man.
Yes, you were. You were manning the reverb stand.
Yeah.
I was manning the Harlequin stand. But you know, the rest of you, Jay and Matt, you guys got to walk around a fair bit. We should talk about some
I can't believe you just cussed Matty out like that.
What?
Mate, I sold 50% of the guitars on that stand yesterday.
What, two and a half?
So, two and a half
guitars.
Well, yeah. One was a mini Strat. So,
oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, two and a half. I had a great day. What I did was drove you up there because you're a child who can't drive. I made a point to mention it to everyone, basically, that I'm the only one out of the four of us that can drive. Uh-huh. And everyone else who was there was just like, how have they got to the age of 39 or however how old they assumed everyone was. How have they got to that age without being able to drive? And I was like, yeah, I know, what can I tell you?
Yeah. On my road,
can we talk about
there's like 160 flats or something.
Yeah.
There's 10 parking spaces.
It's more than 10.
There's not.
I've got.
That's why I've never learned to drive.
I live in a house and I have 3 parking spaces and a garage. So I have absolutely no.
But yeah, basically what I did was I helped you out of the kindness of my heart.
Yeah.
I drove you up there. And then I went and got coffee. It was great.
Yeah. So what cool things did you see? Let's talk about everyone's favourite bits and bobs.
Well, the thing that surprised me the most was I actually was able to get a vegan burger.
I knew you were
going to
do this. I was very impressed with that.
It was great. It was really good.
Never had that there before.
It was really nice. Yes, I had a very good time walking around. The thing that kind of really surprised me, and I don't know that it should surprise me necessarily because we do go to a lot of these shows, but like vintage guitars are very expensive.
So you're talking about ATB guitars
because there was no one dealer in particular,
right.
Like any stand that had vintage guitars, they were all really expensive. And it's even stuff that you maybe wouldn't necessarily consider vintage, like kind of late 70s, early 80s stuff, has got to the point now where it's just really expensive.
Well, yeah. I think the interesting thing is if you look over the course of the last 3 years, actually, I think the prices have come down considerably.
Really?
Yeah. But what's gone up is the stuff that wasn't popular, but is now popular because the other stuff became too expensive.
Yeah.
What you're saying is like the price of like a
fallen down.
What you're saying, Matt, is like the price of like a 65 Strat has come down, but the price of a 79 Strat has gone up.
Yeah. Which was the funny thing about the guitars obviously on the Harlequin stand was that you could get these amazing Grecos from the 70s. We had a Spacey Sound 78 Tele kind of guitar. Where there was a same year one from another stand that was like 10 times the price.
Well, actually, that Spacey crazy. Sounds in particular is, you know, we had it for like £450. And that's all those old Grecos go for. You're talking about a 70s Greco made in the same factory that less than a decade later, Fender were making Fender Japan out of, which is quite generally regarded to be, you know, an absolute golden era of Fender.
Yeah.
It's kind of widely acknowledged now that the bubble did really burst on the secondhand market not so long ago, because stuff just reached peak. Silly prices.
Well, I mean, but know, that's...
Like 30, 40, 50,000 for like a 60 Strat, and you're just like...
Yeah, not, I mean, that's... Yeah. That's... obviously crazy, and that's so far out of our kind of out of our reach, and will never really be in our reach. But even guitars that only, you know, kind of 5 or 10 years ago I had vague aspirations of owning one day, like a late 50s or an early 60s Les Paul Junior, you know, they were a lot of money. You know you were looking at kind of 4 or 5 grand. I mean, a couple years ago
ATB had a 1954 Les Paul Junior in Sunburst for 5.7.
Oh, that's not too bad. £700. That's not too bad.
It's really good.
They had a 58 TV Yellow Les Paul Junior special.
They
had a couple of those actually.
They had a double cut, which just looked absolutely
these were
incredible.
all the single cuts. They had three, all 58s, and they were 8, 9, and 12 grand, condition dependent.
Yeah, of course.
Which I do think is a lot. I mean, I think that ATB stand is fantastic, and ATBguitars.com, listeners, if you've never checked it out, is such a fantastic source of like cool old guitars. Even if you're not buying them, they have wonderful galleries of stuff that you just don't see. And I think one of the coolest things we all saw was the 1964 Cardinal Red Gibson Firebird.
Yeah, the Firebird looked amazing
with the vibrato system on it, and that was what was that, like, that was
28 I think
27 and a half
£1,000,
and we're talking in pounds here as well.
There's
no difference anymore. There was a pound and the dollar, is there?
There was an article in one of the guitar magazines, I think it was the October edition of I can't remember which one, but they had a bit on ATB guitars, and they've got a couple of very early Strats.
Really?
Yeah. Like I think there was a 54 and a 56 maybe, I think. Wow. It was, and they, you know, they photographed them fantastically, and it was a really nice piece of journalism about it actually.
That's cool.
But yeah, it seems like a really cool shop. I've never been there. I don't know where it is. I assume it's London.
Appointment only, I think.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
The stand, there were two stands that got me. And I'll talk about some like private collectors, and you guys can talk about brands, because I didn't get a chance to check out any of the brand stuff. But two stalls that got me. First off, on the top floor, I didn't catch the guy's name, but he had like loads of 60 stuff, like 335s, all this sort of stuff. And I sort of said, oh, you know, do you sell the stuff? And, you know, what? There's no prices on anything. He went, no, I just bring it to shows.
Is that the gear garage?
No,
Ben from the gear garage.
No,
I think it's Ben.
No, top floor, or the floor with the other floor that wasn't the ground floor. Yeah, it was just an older chap, and he basically just takes the stuff to shows. People can look at it, but it's his private collection.
I think
that's
actually what Gear Garage do as well. Bring some lovely stuff. They had a gorgeous. I put a picture up of it actually on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. They had like a cherry double cut Melody Maker.
Oh right,
pickup.
Okay, fine.
Absolutely lovely.
The other stand that I really liked was a guy called Barry.
I saw Barry's guitars. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Wonderful. Just a wonderful name. I was going to say, if I one day own a guitar shop, but I guess I knew.
You do now.
I would have called it Barry's Guitars. Should have called it Barry's Guitars.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking to Barry, and he had loads and loads of really cool, like, hollow body, vintage hollow bodies.
Right. Now,
things
I can
like
get behind that.
Kay's, Hofner. What else did he have? Some.
A lot of those, like, the sort of F-hole arch tops without pickups and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. And all his prices were super reasonable, like super affordable. Like a lot of his 60 stuff was under £500. And, you know, those guitars aren't like the best performing guitars in the world, but they're very cool.
Yeah.
He had a whole bunch of them. I forget what the model is now. I need to just do a bit of research and find out the ones that he had in the stand. But
let's do, I guess, before we sort of talk about brands and things like that, as far as vintage guitars go, because this is such a wonderful show for vintage gear.
Yeah.
What was everyone's favorite vintage piece that they saw? If you can pick one.
Honestly, the stuff on Barry's stand. So things like, he had a Harmony Stratotone. He also had a...
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah, I forget what they're called. There's one particular, like, Harmony single cut that I think he had a couple of them. And I'm just doing a quick bit of research now. I can't find it anyway, but it was like £495, and that was like a really, really cool guitar.
Right.
It might even been a K. I'm just gonna quickly Google it. Man, Googling on
the, in the Gear Garage, there was a lovely Les Paul recording. I know they're not that uncommon, but
yeah.
But I really love those guitars. I think they look fantastic.
K Speed Demon is what I was thinking of.
Oh, really?
Which is
okay.
kind of like it looks like a long Les Paul, but it's a hollow body.
Right.
It's kind of like
I know exactly what you mean.
What's the guitar that you've got? Yes. 275.
I've got 175.
175, but it's like slim.
Yes, it's slimmer and longer. I know the guitar you mean.
Yeah, yeah. And they that was the one that I think he had put like £495.
Oh,
and,
why didn't I see that? I could have bought that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's I'm really angry. Oh, because I sort of
really angry.
You know, I only walked around for a little bit, but in the time that I walked around, I was like, "There's such lovely stuff here." But I think I even said it to you guys. I was like, "But I think doing these Japanese guitars has kind of ruined guitar for me a bit, because now I'm like, I've seen how good they are.
Yeah.
It's made me not want to spend 2, 3, 4 grand on an old vintage American thing. But if I'd have found like something cool for sort of £400 or £500, I think I'd have probably bought it.
I'll tell you what as well, one of the ones that I really liked was something on your stand, actually.
Oh, really?
The Greco or maybe it was a Greco, the hollow body telly that you've got.
Yeah, that's the one that me and Matt just spoke about.
Yeah,
the spacey sounds.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Really nice. And again, not much money. £400 or something?
Yeah, that was £400, £450, something like that.
You didn't sell that one, did you?
We didn't sell that one.
No, you still had that one. Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't particularly listening to you when you were talking about
that's
it.
Totally fine. It's a really lovely guitar, but you're absolutely right. Like, what a fantastic sort of super budget. And it actually has an old Fender humbucker retrofitted into the bridge as well.
So, I mean, that's going to cost you the same as, you know, if you pick up a used Mexican telly or something like that. It's about the same money. And
for something made in 1978.
Yeah, really nice. So those are my two favourite bits. Pretty much everything on Barry's stand.
Yeah.
He also had some of those single neck pickup Gretsches that are like slightly slimmer body. They're not like an Anniversary, because Anniversaries are full depth.
Right.
I forget what the model's called, but they're like a slightly shallower body, single neck pickup. Just great looking guitars, and not a lot of money. There was like 60s guitars, and they were like $10.99, right. Something like that. Like, not a lot of money at all for a, you know, American built 60s guitar. Super cool. Yeah, loved it.
One of the other cool kind of vintage things that was on the Harlequin stand was the Greco early...
Sorry, is this a paid advertisement?
No, God, no. It was the Greco early 60s, which is the... Which we had, it was a 1977 Greco Stratocaster style guitar.
Yeah.
They called that range
the S type.
They called those guitars the early 60s. But as Matt, you noticed, it's a single piece body on those old.
I thought it was, and then I had a even closer inspection, and it isn't.
Oh, okay.
Which is a shame, because I think it just shows how well built they are and how well matched they are. Because you can get, you know, some and it's pretty glaring. Obviously, it's 2, 3, 4 or more bits.
Yeah.
And I think it's either a 2 or 3 bits. I could definitely see one join. Basically, I was talking to old regular customer from when I used to work at GAC, who happens to be a carpenter, and was just like, I can spot a wood joint anywhere, basically. So he kind of had a look at it and pointed one out. But it's pretty well concealed. But it shows that they've actually matched it properly rather than tried to just jam 3 bits of wood together.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I think my favorite vintage guitar that I saw, again, like, was on the ATB stand. The ATB stand was massive, but they had a proper 1956 Gibson Les Paul Custom with the proper single coil in the neck.
Yep.
And the P90 in the bridge. Absolutely lovely.
Wait, what do you mean single coil in the neck?
The single coil pickup that they made for the neck with the little square dotted pole pieces, and then you get the P90 in the bridge.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They
sorry, yeah, I know
on,
what you
like,
mean. Yeah, 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 yeah. Year. Of course, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like it was supposed to be a loud, really overwound single coil in the neck, and then the P90 in the bridge. Lovely. £24,995. I was like, I saw it, and I was like, I'm going to ask to play it. I'm not asked to play it because I've never held one. And then I saw the price tag and I was like,
No.
I didn't even ask because it was just, I was like, nah, I'm not getting myself into a position where I could drop this.
Yes. That's always my thing. It's like, even if they say like, oh, play, you know, ask for a demo and you know, you can try anything. I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to because if I drop it and then I'll feel so bad.
I mean, I did that when we were at NAMM. Summer Nam, I think
you dropped
it was.
Something.
I didn't drop something, but I picked up a guitar at the Martin booth ridiculously without really, like, I just saw a guitar. I was like, wow, that looks amazing. Look at that. Picked it up. And, you know, brown guitars, I'm kind of neither here nor there about generally, but that one looked amazing. We picked it up and me and Danny G had a little strum of it. Realized that it was $250,000.
Oh.
And it was Brazilian Rosewood. And it was like, oh, shoot. Okay. And one of the people from Martin came over and very calmly just said, oh, sorry, guys, I just need to borrow that if that's all right. Like, expertly defused the situation. Yeah. And
I need to borrow that because the Queen needs a guitar.
Well, actually, we did have a situation on the Harlequin stand because we had the D45, the Martin D45, which is a £6,500 shellfish laden acoustic.
Oh yeah, did you have that with
you? We had that.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we had that on display, but some fella was having a go on it, picked it up, and he was a little crazy, and he was like spinning it. He was like,
what?
Spinning it. Yeah, he was spinning it, like doing tricks. Like, you know when you like spin a guitar?
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, you know, like when you spin?
Like spinning it, like go, like looking at it, spinning it round in his hands. You know, it's a podcast. I'm trying to keep it audio.
You were the absolute classic for pretending to drop a guitar literally every time you would pick it up. If it is expensive.
Oh, was he doing that? Was he like pretending to drop
it? No, he was just sort of, I think he was just being flashy, but it was fine. He played the guitar terribly, actually. And then, it was really, really, really
come
bad
on.
Playing. Anyway, after he put it
there's
back.
There's no judging here. I'm not letting you get away with that. There's no judging here.
Right, whatever. I don't care how people play. This. It wasn't playing. As in, I'm not saying he was trying to strum
I'm
a
not
C.
No,
no, no. Let
that.
Me finish. I'm not saying he was trying to strum a C. I'm saying he was just playing random notes in a random order, like
mate,
someone
you
who was
polymath. You just didn't understand it, mate.
Yeah, it was
you just
anyway,
didn't get it.
Anyway, that's not the moral of this story.
It was a time signature that not even you could understand.
The moral of this story is that after he'd finished, the guy from Flame Guitars and the fellow at the Shergold stand both came up to me and they were like, "We were all just watching your face during that little situation there because that was close."
So back on track. Over at one of the, if you don't mind me moving if you don't mind, you know, I know this is the Harlequin Guitar Podcast, but if you don't mind me talking about someone else.
I would love someone other than me to talk about guitars on this podcast. That would be fantastic.
I just talked about some guitars.
So, guitars are boring. So, round the corner from your booth, there was the Nottingham City Guitars booth, which I think they are mainly a luthier, who also sort of sells a bit of stuff here and there. I mean, looking at the website, there is a big sticker on the front of the website that says we are closed until the 14th of November. So I guess
takes a long time to get back from the show.
He walked walking up the King's Road. But one of the guitars that they had was something that I'd never seen before, actually, which was a 1979 Kramer 250G.
Wait, I don't even know what that is.
No, I'd never heard of it. So basically what it is it's kind of a double cut, more like a kind of a Les Paul Junior style than an SG style. Actually, it looks almost like the
it looks like a Ibanez Musician.
The Maple?
Oh, I know what this
is. Gibson Maple guitar.
Not the LS.
Yeah, the LS, the L6S. You know that
it looks more like an Epiphone Wiltshire to me.
No, because it's more rounded than that. But anyway, the thing that you're not seeing, especially Mark, I can see from the picture that you're looking at, is it is a aluminium neck.
Yeah.
Aluminium neck, so it goes up to the two prongs. It looked absolutely fantastic. So basically, yeah, natural finish, kind of Les Paul double cut style almost. Two like very strange humbuckers that like mini humbuckers maybe that I didn't recognize. And aluminium neck.
That sounds very cool. 940 quid.
Seemed really reasonable.
Gems? Why didn't people tell me about these wonderful gems on the day?
Yeah, it seemed really reasonable. It looked fantastic. I mean, I didn't get a chance to pick it up. I just don't really like doing it at these sorts of shows just because there's so much going on. And the thing is that especially at a show like this, there are people who want to actually buy stuff, and by going, I'm just getting in people's way essentially because I wasn't going to buy the guitar. So just going up and look at, and also, you know, I can barely string two chords together. So, you know, I wouldn't want on the Nottingham City Guitars podcast for this guy to be like, oh yeah, well, so basically this fella was trying this 1979.
I'm sure they wouldn't do that. They're probably above that.
That's true. Yeah. They're probably much nicer.
I wouldn't criticize anyone's guitar playing. This guy wasn't a guitarist. That's what I'm saying.
Mate, it's not for you to judge.
No, you're not getting it. I'm not saying he was playing badly. I'm saying he wasn't playing. I'm saying it was
bass player. I get it.
Okay. I mean, no, when normal people hear polymath, that's what they think. Right.
They're right, like, fine. Did this band fall down the stairs with the
someone throwing a drum kit down the stairs?
Matt Knight, let's talk about some of your favourite bits and bobs.
I liked going back to Jodo guitars, and I just went on their website to have a look at the new one they built, and the leading quote is, just absolute guitar art perfection, Matt Knight, guitar nerds. So.
Is that the leather-clad single cut?
Yes. So, like to point something out.
Yeah.
Pleather.
Oh, it's pleather.
Yes.
Yes. Which unfortunately isn't on his website at the moment.
That's a shame.
But that was wicked. It was a Les Paul Jr. covered in pleather.
Pleasing leather.
Where all the neck had, you know, its whole custom story and everything.
I've put a picture of that on the Guitarnerds Facebook group with a link through to his website as well.
But I just also went on his Reverb store, and he sells custom kind of, you know, the poker chip for Les Pauls that obviously he uses on some of his custom guitars. So one says lift off, one says standing by, one says rock, one says roll, blah, blah, and one says la, la, la. So nice. I thought that's very cool. But yeah, so it's just good to see a couple of the new ones that you got on there. Unfortunately, my favorite one, the... Wall of Death, which was the single humbucker hardtail Strat type guitar owned by Bert Stewart, on this one was gone, unfortunately. But yeah, he had some cool stuff on there. I really like. I wish I could remember the backstory of the Les Paul Jr. was on there, but oh yeah, it's not on his. Actually, is it not on the homepage?
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Is it on here? Oh, no, wait. I found it. It's not on the homepage. It is called the Earl's Musical Baseball Bat, I think, potentially, was the one. Yeah, Les Paul Jr., one-piece mahogany, back and neck, with pleather-bound body, custom patches, badges, with added mileage, wrecked nitro-aged finish on the neck, some kind of nut. I like that. Gibson P90, Goto Bridge tuners, and Yeah, comes in a hard case. Comes with, yeah. He was saying that he had to get a seamstress to like custom design the entire jacket of the guitar and everything. And I think it has Earl's baseball bat along the back of the neck.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I saw that.
They're just awesome guitars. I just think they're just great showpieces, if anything. You know, so I think he puts a lot of work and his main job is a script writer. So he's sort of got that touch when it comes to creating a little bit of a backstory, but they're just great guitars. They're just loads of fun.
I'm reading the backstory on the Monster, which was his other new guitar at the show, which is the first one that's got like two dates on it, because he dates everything. So for example, like the Earl's musical baseball bat, I think has a date of 1978 as like when the guitar, according to the backstory, when the guitar would have been made. So the Monster is 1989/1957. This is how he describes it. Travis Bird Jr., lead guitarist with heavy metal band Heavy Mental, snapped the neck clean off his beloved Gibson Les Paul while playing at Rowdy's Rock House in small town Dallas, 1989. In need of a hasty replacement, Travis took, without asking, his father's beloved 57 Gold Top and performed a transplant worthy of Dr. Frankenstein. The guitar has since remained intact to this day, the father-son relationship less so. So basically, in fact, what this guitar is, it's a body of a 2006 Gibson Les Paul. So this isn't like because all the other bodies I think Jodi make, right. And this is actually just a 2016 Gibson Les Paul standard body, but there's a faux transplanted gold top neck, so it's a sunburst Les Paul that's been relicked and aged and stuff, but then it's a gold backed neck on there.
So good.
It looks amazing, and it's kind of got that like white pickups like from like, you know, the Kiss kind of Ace Frehley guitars, and like that just looks like a cool rock monster, and then you get all the cool story with it as well. I think even in fact the neck has got it's got like, again, on the back of the neck it's got Terry Bird and the Pocket Rocket on the back, which it is the supposed dad's fake band,
right?
You have a look at the on the website, there's like a picture of an old 50s band, or a band clearly in the 50s or early 60s, and the guy's playing a gold top Les Paul, and that's the inspiration behind the neck that's been transplanted onto this sunburst body.
It's fantastic.
So good, my absolute wonderful favorite company. Love it.
Wonderful to give a bit of a story to them. Now there were a couple of really cool sort of new relics, obviously less creative than Jodo, but you know, you were getting a lot of those new luthier companies taking a leaf out of the sort of Fender Custom Shop and producing their own versions of that. And there were two at this show that really, really caught my eye. One was the Dutch company Panucci Custom Guitars, who were right at the top of the show. They had an absolutely fantastic double cut Melody Maker style guitar that they had at the show. I really, really like that. Now, especially now I don't have that Melody Maker anymore, but the, which was absolutely wonderful. A load of great Les Pauls and a handful of kind of tasteful Fenders. A really nice sort of Telecaster style instrument that was there. But did anyone else other than me see the Panucci stand?
Go on, Matt. Sorry. Yeah.
I was literally next to you.
Joe literally invited me.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. I did.
And actually, the guitar that I liked most was actually something that isn't like anything else, which is their OW005, which is their kind of weird double cut sort of offset, sort of PRS type guitar with a Tele hardtail and mini humbuckers. And I think the thing that kind of attracted me to this was it just wasn't like someone had taken an F-style body or a Gibson body and just made it into a relic. It felt like they actually tried to build something different.
I maybe have been, you know, cutting them a little bit short by just talking about their relics, because they do have their own range of body shapes as well. In fact, their OW005 is the body shape that they use as their kind of their flagship piece, which is very much a sort of more 50s more Titan style instrument.
Yeah, any sort of that sort of like almost Don't like Novo guitars.
Yeah,
that kind of like modern retro thing, I guess, you know. But it was just it just had a cool design scratch plate. I thought the specs were really nice. I thought it looked like different enough if you wanted a custom guitar, but you didn't have to spend an absolute like fortune, you know, €2,500. That kind of felt really reasonable for something that was, you know, sort of hand built from the ground up, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just nice to see something that wasn't, you know, like a, you know, like a Fender or a Gibson relic, especially if you want to sort of move away from that a little bit. I thought that was quite a cool body shape. And I actually think the number 004, 005, because I've just seen the 004, is actually the serial number.
Right, I see.
Potentially, because there's the OW004 is the same body shape, same finish, but with two P90s in it, which I think is very, very cool. So, yeah, that could be just a new body shape they're working with. But they seem to have done a lot of 59 style guitars, I think was the main thing. And their 59 they had on display had very much of that kind of like a really vintage carve on it. It was a really deep kind of carve to the top, much more than I think you see on kind of Gibsons nowadays as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking at their back catalogue, they've made some great guitars.
Oh, they've made some absolutely crackers, like really tasteful relicking. Obviously, it's a custom shop, so you can get whatever you want. But I guess the bulk of their show pieces featured like, you know, real sort of that closet classic style level of lacquer checking relicking, which is just so tasteful, especially when you're going for traditional finishes. They essentially did a really good job of, at a glance, You know, and until you look at the headstock, these looked very, very much like vintage instruments.
I'm just looking at them, and I realise we've talked about them before.
Have we?
We talked about them 2 years ago at the London Guitar Show.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
Well, I spoke to them this time. They've been there every year since the start.
Before, I don't think they had any of their own like models. I think they only had kind of Tellys and Les Pauls and Les Paul Juniors and stuff.
I think, just looking at the website, there is a guitar on here, which is the 001, which is kind of that
has the split pickups like a 12 string.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a 12 string Fender.
And I'm pretty sure that I played that a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw what an absolute
It's lovely. It's really lovely.
It's a 6 string, but with that sort of Fender.
Yeah, with the if you kind of imagine the 12 string split coil single coils, but one is turned the other way around.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So basically, it's staggered up and then staggered down again.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really cool, really interesting, really interesting. And a lovely, like, kind of white, translucent finish with a lot of taut on there.
Yeah, they like taut. There seems to be quite a lot of taut.
It was really cool. I'm almost 100% certain that I tried that a couple of years ago. Right. Really cool.
Yeah,
really, really interesting.
Very you as a guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, super cool.
Very white and taut. Yeah.
I was going to say one thing that we should mention quickly, because it was on display, but I don't think they've made the official announcement yet, but it sounded very good, was the Hampstead Tremolo.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It sounded absolutely amazing, and they said the key to their tremolo is it's a true 100% analog waveform, where a lot of tremolos on the market are analog, but the signal is slightly different because it has to go through something digital to offer tap tempo. But they were like, everything is truly analog, and it sounded absolutely amazing. And I think in the standard sine wave, it's the exact same tremolo circuit as their amplifier, and it sounded like just proper vintage trem. It just sounded wonderful.
Yeah, it really did sound amazing. It sounded really, really, really impressive.
I think I need to learn more about tremolo.
Learn more.
Stop there. End of the sentence.
Right, fine. But it sounds like I understand how you know, why the difference between an analog and a digital circuit would affect a drive, for example, or a chorus. But in a circuit that's just reducing volume, I'm not entirely sure how there can be an audible difference.
Volume goes up, volume goes down.
Yeah, it's how it handles that though.
Sure,
I'm
not saying I don't think it is.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, I literally, if I heard it, I wouldn't be able to be like, oh yep, that sounds analog. I wouldn't know.
Sure, sure.
No,
and I'm sure you can probably do a good recreation of an analog trem with digital things now.
Yeah.
So which blurs the muddies the waters even more. But yeah, be interesting to hear it.
Yeah, definitely. And great for sort of Hampstead to be making some more pedals because, of course, their amplifiers have been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And we really liked the Odyssey, the drive pedal that they, the multi-stage drive pedal they put out. That was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to check out many pedals. I do want to sort of mention, whilst we're on the line of talking about Panucci guitars, I wanted to talk about Iverson. Which I couldn't find.
Is it not Iverson?
Iverson. But I couldn't read the
logo.
The logo, because it's a signature. And I was like, I was messaging everyone. And I was like, is this Lewison? I can't find Lewison guitars anywhere on the internet, but they were great. And yeah, you pointed out to me.
It's an I. So these were across from the booth that I was on, and basically couldn't stop looking at them.
Oh, they're so
pretty
good.
Much they only, from looking at their website and looking at their booth, they only do
57 or 59 double cut or single cut Les
yeah,
Pauls.
Exactly,
yeah.
That.
Juniors. Yeah, perfect. Oh, yes.
Exactly what you want. So on display at the show, I think they had a Les Paul Special in cherry, so a two pickup double cut, and then they had a Sunburst Junior, and then I think a white junior as well. I can't remember. And they look absolutely amazing. They're basically dead on copies.
So, well, the fellow who makes them is he's a junior fanatic, obviously.
Yeah,
but he's owned.
No, he hates them.
He's owned loads of juniors, 55 through to 59, and he said he's used those to sort of painstakingly recreate his specific models, and that's essentially what you have available are versions of the guitars that he genuinely owns from that time period. So, I mean, absolutely wonderful. Like, I want to go to a. If I wanted a junior, why not go to a company that literally only makes juniors?
Just do them, yes.
They're definitely going to be great, and they looked fantastic.
And they're not silly money. So the single P90 is, so the single cut, or no, basically single cut or double cut, but with a single P90, $2,199. And then if you want a kind of special, the double P90, they're $2,699.
Right.
And yeah, they looked absolutely amazing.
I mean, problematically, you know, you can get a new Gibson one for $799 now, but
well, yeah, but not to this.
No, of course not.
And actually, I don't think you can you? I was looking at, I know, like the SG specials, just the normal American-made production line ones are $1,199, or no, $1,099 for a special. I think, and no, for the whatever the single.
You're right. My, I'm probably outdated on that. I think the last affordable single cut junior I can actually think of is probably the 2015 one.
Yeah, totally. I like this little thing in this spec. Serial number of your choice in genuine 50s font.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can basically choose whatever you want. You know, if you want your phone number as the serial number, you can do that, yeah. Amazing.
Which is fine until you have to sell it.
I actually want mine to be 01811811811. Yeah, I want it to be that.
What would that be?
Live and Kicking.
Live and Kicking. Number. Oh, that's so good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across you there, but you
were about to get it wrong.
01818118181.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought that was a nice little touch.
Oh, amazing. Matt Knight?
Yes.
Talk to me about something else that you were a massive fan of.
You really dropped me in there.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, I wanted to hear more from your voice.
Actually, I will take this opportunity to just give a
thanks
shout
to
out.
My mum. And
yeah, thanks to my mum. To Damien, who was actually a customer of mine when I was at GAC, and left his job in the city to work in the same industry, and he now distributes a couple of different brands, Kurt Mangan strings, which I'm yet to try, but also Reunion Blues gig bags.
Just seeing them everywhere.
He's such a fantastic fella.
I mean, he's literally managed to get them everywhere in the UK, like, and every kind of major person on the internet seems to be using these at the moment. But they've actually been making gig bags since 1976.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So I think he's done a great job actually bringing the name out there in the last sort of like 12 months, actually. But yeah, I'm actually, bizarrely enough, although I don't travel around that much with work now, I'm starting to take a few more guitars out for when I'm doing sort of like staff training or things like that. So I was like, I need...
So you can do sing songs and things. With
yeah,
staff.
Yeah.
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya, you know.
Youth hostling with Matt Knight.
And yeah, so he sorted me out the double gig bag, which is actually really nice because most of the double gig bags on the market are ridiculously massive. This one actually maintains like a half decent, like still portable.
I'm looking at it now, Matt, and it still looks pretty big.
No, it honestly, it didn't. So it was I was with Matty when he got it. And it
were you
really...
annoyed that you didn't get given anything?
I wasn't annoyed that I didn't get given anything. What I was annoyed at was that Matt didn't offer me the opportunity to have a look inside his double gig bag, so to speak.
Knowing how much he's in accessories.
Knowing how much I love accessories. I thought it was really good. I really do struggle to think of brands who've done double gig bags well.
Mono?
I think there was a mono one, but it was about...
a mono one, yeah.
I think it's about £2.5 million.
This is the problem with mono. They're so expensive.
Yeah.
The drummer in my band drives people on tour and does stuff like that. He sent me a photo of all these like mono double gig bags and things and was like, you guys should get yourselves these for when we fly places because it'll be so much better. I just sent him back a link to the price of them before he
Mark's on the site now.
They're actually about the same money. So the mono classic dual electric guitar case is $329.
Okay.
The Reunion Blues Continental Voyager double electric guitar case, $349.
Right,
so that's the same.
Actually, the one I got was the RBX double electric, which is the more basic one. It's only $189.
Oh, well, okay, fine. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah,
that is much more reasonable.
The thing is, I think it's
I see it now. Oh, that looks way slimmer. Yeah, the one that I was looking at looks literally like a suitcase.
No, yeah, so that's really, really, really nice gig bag. Really, really well made.
$189.95.
Yeah, it's good.
And that's dollars. That seems good.
Yeah, so really into it. I think it's really cool.
And the other one that they actually make, which I think is, there's the RBX range. I think it's the Oxford. It's either the Oxford or it's a different one. It's basically, when it was in there, it was like an absolute tank. It's like the most, it's the closest fitting gig bag I've seen, apart from putting a guitar in a Hiscox case. I was super impressed to finally actually see those, and yeah, I think Damien's done a fantastic job, managed to get them in the hands of every major guitar player on the internet at the moment. So,
the Oxford looks really good. Yeah, the Oxford looks like it's kind of...
Sorry, the slow cooker's finished.
Are you on
fire? Is that what that beeping was?
I was just going to turn it off.
Yeah. Good,
we actually ate about 2 hours ago, but it's just finished.
Oh, wonderful.
The Oxford looks really good, Matty. It looks like it just looks like you want to climb inside the case and have a snooze. Looks.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of wanted something. I mean, I don't know. He was saying that I wouldn't necessarily fly with the double because it's not as padded.
Yeah.
As the ones, but the other ones, he's like, you could probably fly with those. And a couple of the people that he, artists that he has with those bags do that. All in all, really good bags. And I just see they make pedalboard cases as well, which is pretty
cool. They do loads of stuff. Just looking at it now, there's like stuff for like different types of instruments. They do like cymbal bags. They do trumpet bags. If you ever need a trumpet bag, they've got three options available. And I think for different types of woodwind, clarinet, flute, and saxophone.
So there you go.
Thanks.
Just letting you know. You know, if you're thinking, I need a double guitar bag, but also I've got that flute knocking around. Well, $59.95, Reunion Blues will sort you out.
You can pad your flute.
Indeed.
Good. Thank you for that. Yes. So one other thing that I saw that I really liked the look of... and I don't think we have had a chance. Sorry, am I not talking into the mic?
No, that's fine. I just adjust your volume when you don't.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, okay. So can I just come back here then?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Yeah?
Sure, yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
one of the things that I saw that I really liked was the Ranger FX Drone Ranger.
I forgot about this and you showed me this. This was exciting.
Yeah, so this I came across this because I was talking to the people at Northern Stomp Boxes, which is a shop that I was not familiar with before, but Mark did hit that thing where he goes like, yeah, of course, how did you not know them? Yeah,
there's
so
much stuff in the North that is marketed as
you sound
Northern.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. I was about to say you sound like... You're about to say something really... I don't know, rude.
What? Oh no, I love the North. I just meant you know. I love the North.
I do
love the North. It's the only place that people come and watch my band. But it's no one's ever.
That's more damning than anything else you could have said.
I did think that as I said it.
Anyway, moving swiftly on. The Ranger FX Drone Ranger, which first of all is an absolutely fantastic name.
Yeah.
Is a it's essentially a delay pedal, right. Based off of the Echo X, which is obviously a pedal that we have spoken a lot about. Came pretty high up in Gear of the Year 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Really, really fantastic sounding, bonkers delay pedal. But what this is it is a delay pedal with two drones built into it. And so the delay can function by itself, can function completely autonomously without the drones, or you can switch the drones in. And what's cool about the drones is you've got two tunable drones.
So the rotary control is pitch.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. Oh, so there's two independent drones on there. One you can choose any note all the way from A all the way around to G sharp. A flat?
I think H is the last.
Yeah. H square.
Yeah.
That's the one.
H square. H actually is it H? I think H actually is a note in Germany. B flat is H.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's that. I've totally lost the train of thought there. There's two tunable drones. So one, you can choose any note. The other, you have only got a handful of selections of what note you can do. But the drones run completely independent of the delay. There's also
H is a note.
Yeah.
It's B.
It's B flat, isn't it?
B, apparently.
I think it's B flat.
Well, I'm looking on Wikipedia now and it
also
says
also known as
B.
Psi or Ti or in some European countries, H.
There you go. Yeah, see?
It's the seventh note.
Seventh note.
What are you trying to do?
I don't know. I was trying to do a spoonerism, but I just completely pulled it up.
Okay, good.
So anyway, the other cool thing with this pedal is you've got a interfere button. So one of the foot switches, what that does is you can change what the interfere button does.
Right.
So you can have it pitch up. You can switch between the two drones. The other thing with this is it looks amazing. It's in this completely bonkers shaped enclosure.
Of course, as with all Ranger stuff.
But like this just goes so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's five-sided, but the top is a different size to the bottom plate, so it goes outward. It's just mad. It's completely mad. The only thing that I do think is a little bit weird about this is it doesn't have an input for the Igor.
Oh, right. That's strange. So what's the Igor for people?
Igor is Ranger's proprietary pressure-sensitive expression control. Mm. To my knowledge, you can actually use it with basically anything. I don't think you can only use it with
anything that could
Ranges,
take a mini jack
but
input.
It does only have mini jack. I wonder if it would work.
I'd wonder, yeah.
As,
I'm not sure.
If you used, we could have done with one of those yesterday, couldn't we? Joe took a Katana to so that people could play guitars silently and brought some headphones, but didn't check and did need a headphone adapter.
Well, most headphones are small jack.
No, not anymore.
Not for professional use.
There are a few possible reasons for B being known as H. It might stand for heart, German for hard, or it could have just been a mistake in early sheet music, owing to the fact that the B flat symbol, the weird B thing, looks a bit like a B.
Doesn't say that on Wikipedia, the weird B
looking,
thing.
Yeah, well, I said that. The sharp symbol looks like a sort of, you know, noughts and crosses, looks a bit like an H.
Well, there we go.
So there you go.
It's B flat sharp.
Well,
Pat Sharp.
Yeah, Pat Sharp.
So I was really into that. I thought it sounded, I thought it looked really, really good. I didn't try it again, as I say, because it's not just conducive to that. Seven-sided. The enclosure's seven-sided, not five. I wasn't counting correctly. Seven sides. Bonkers.
Very cool. Not going to fit on
heptagram.
A pedal board conventionally.
Not but... heptagram. Heptagon.
Yeah. Yeah.
They all have seven sides? Top, underneath,
bottom,
back, front,
yeah,
left, right. Is that six?
That's six.
Okay. Where's the extra side coming from?
It's on the side.
Has it got an extra side?
It's on the side.
Yeah, they're all sides.
Yeah, but this
they're
one's
all technically
on, this
on
one's
the
on
side.
The, this one's on the actual side.
Weird.
It's not as wonderful as the top and the side.
I need to look at a picture.
Yeah, as wonderful as this conversation is, we're actually up to time on this week's episode of the Katana.
Surely
podcast.
Not.
Yeah, surely we are. And thank goodness. And we there's loads of other things to talk about. We haven't spoken about our favorite amps from the show. We've only just started talking about pedals, and there's definitely loads more guitars. And we want to talk about all the Halloween stuff.
Yamaha and, Super Combinator 800.
And we want to talk about your new guitar. So we're going to go over and do that on the Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free, and early $5 gets you the Patreon episode and more.
Spooky.
Yes, Jay, stop moving my script away from
spooky.
Me. And $10 makes you an executive producer. Gets your name sung in this rather spooky Halloween special song that you will hear at the end of the episode. Anyway, you can follow us.
Is it the Addams Family? You should have done that.
Should I tell you what? I haven't recorded it yet. So I really hope I can find some spooky music now. Otherwise, I'm going to have to put like an apology.
You could just be like, I don't know. You could just read out everyone's name to the tune of the Addams
Just
Family.
Do what you normally do. Put some sort of like Venga Boys backing track, but go spooky over
spooky
it.
Spooky horror.
Is that what you do, Venga Boys?
Nice.
I literally haven't listened to. I haven't heard a single one.
No, I do a different theme each week. I did like a sort of like 50s. 50? I did like a sort of. You know, that sort of
like,
sort of thing.
Not that, 50s
like,
at all.
Great Gatsby sort of, you know, that sort of thing. That sort of thing. I did that last week. The couple of weeks before that, I've been doing like romantic ballads. I got quite into that for a while. They were quite fun trying to build the harmonies. So I enjoyed that. And before that, I was going for sort of like feel good stuff. I was like Black Eyed Peas style feel good. You know, I was,
like party music.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. But so I don't know. Well, obviously, I do know this week's going to be Halloween themed. No, I can't do that. Copyright reasons. I don't think we can even say that.
You should go like. Do-do-do-do.
You're just doing like a. Same notes. You're just. Okay. All right. Anyway, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Guitar Nerds. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel on youtube.com/Guitar Nerds. That's it for us this week. We'll be continuing over on our Patreon episode for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, Ken.
Bye.
Gavin, Brandon, Linden, Jacob McGee, Christopher Franklin, Martin Zalkanowacki, Rob Barstow, Stephen Burke, Robert Butterworth, Neil Merton, Baron Peters, Robson, Jeffrey Wax, Christian Lund Hansen, Zach Melton, Keith Adams, Steve Ferguson, Eric File, Andy Joyce, John Edmund, Adam Royce, Chris, Jake Cutmore, Rob Cool, Scott Hamilton, Tyler Amador, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hench, Rob Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Emery James Baker, Juan Collier, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Andrew Good, Jamie Depp, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Longston, Hans Robin Smith, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Norwood, Ed Bentley, Steve Merkel, Carlos Mancha, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstisbon, Corrigan, Will Clare, Moo Gravett, Finn Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew Kane, Skip Kane, Sean Arbor, Christopher Wolf, Cuthbert Sun. All men, their bloody end. On the Guitar Nerds Podcast. Ha 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 ha
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.